The following is a presentation of the First United Methodist Church of Pittsfield, Massachusetts. We are a caring and inclusive church, seeking to know Christ and share grace with our community. We worship at 10:30 on Sunday mornings in our sanctuary at 55 Fenn Street in Pittsfield, and on our website at fumcpittsfield.org. We hope that you are blessed as you listen to this message.
There we go. Technology is priced. This microphone that I'm speaking to you on, I bought for $39.99 on Amazon, and it's worth every penny. our scripture reading this morning is from Galatians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. That's the wrong button. That's the right button. But when the fulfillment of the time came, God sent His Son, born through a woman and born under the law. This was so He could redeem those under the law so that we could be adopted. Because you are sons and daughters, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son or daughter. And if you are His child, then you are also an heir through God. And God bless you for reading, hearing, and understanding of Scripture. Thanks be to God. I found Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I found Jesus. After searching and searching and searching, I finally found Christ. He was in a box under the table. You know, I've never felt the need for nativity scenes or manger scenes like, you know, this one or like that one. I've never, for some reason, they're called creches here in New England. I've never done that. Anyway, I've never found the need for them to be liturgically correct. Or some people, some churches say that if you put Jesus in the manger before Christmas Eve, you're doing it wrong. Like, you can't have, because Jesus wasn't in the manger right before Christmas Eve, but you know what? You know the shepherds. And these same people don't seem to have a problem with putting the wise men, or the kings as we call them, in at the same time, even though, you know, there's literally no reason to suggest that they were kings to begin with. There's no reason to suggest there were three of them, right? And certainly, they weren't in the manger. Like, they came later, maybe as long as 2 years later. And Scripture tells us very clearly that when they showed up, they went to visit Mary and Joseph and Jesus in a house, probably in the house that they were living in Bethlehem. They evidently decided to start their family there in Bethlehem, and maybe Jesus would have grown up in Bethlehem his entire life if the Spirit of the Lord hadn't come to him and said, flee to Egypt, because Herod's going to do his nasty. Anyway, I've never really felt the need to be liturgically correct in these matters. It's just nice. It's pretty. Let's celebrate. I also, you've noticed that there are other churches where they say you're not allowed to sing Christmas songs before Christmas. You probably noticed that I don't care about that one either. I start singing Christmas songs much earlier than most people. You know, like June. I do remember one year when, for whatever reason, the church I was serving at the time didn't put Jesus into the manger before Christmas Eve. And I'm like, whatever, but that wasn't the hill I was going to die on, so I just let it go, and you know, I figured we'd go through the season and do the thing. Except they didn't put him in on Christmas Eve either, right? And I don't know who but me noticed it, but Jesus wasn't in the manger on Christmas Eve. And when I realized it, I went looking for Jesus. How many of us go looking for Jesus, right? We do this all the time in our lives. Some of us quite often, we look for Jesus not just when we go to set up our Christmas decorations, but in the rest of our lives. We search out Jesus in our days when we fight with our friends and families, when we experience illness or loss. We search for Jesus. We wonder where Jesus is in the presence of all of our suffering. Where is this Lord who loves us so dearly when we're in pain or struggling with uncertainty? There's a game I like to play, or to watch played out sometimes. I call it the Jesus spotting game. I've heard a lot of people do this over the years. you know, you'll be in a situation where, you know, mom or dad is struggling with alcoholism, or children are struggling with addiction. There's something horrible going on in your life, and your first inclination is to seek Jesus, not necessarily in their lives, because you're seeing them crumble and suffer and in pain, and you're not seeing Jesus. And so you look for Jesus somewhere in your life. I've seen this happen over and over again. They feel like somehow Jesus is absent. And so they spot Jesus where, frankly, I can't imagine Jesus striking himself in the forehead and saying, "What? Really? Here you are." Like, for example, it's been raining all morning, and I'm going to a doctor's office visit. It stops raining right when I get there, so I don't get wet. Jesus be praised! It's Boxing Day, and somebody gave me a sweater I don't like, so I have to go to the mall and return it. And the mall is packed because nobody else liked their sweaters either. But I found a parking space right by the door. Jesus be praised! Jesus gave me that parking space. One year I drove to Millis to see Millis Wonderland. Have you seen Millis Wonderland? Millis Wonderland is this farm. It's got like 1,200 animatronic devices, 45 glass-encased floats, and like 100,000 Christmas lights. And you drive through and you're like, ooh, ah, so pretty. It actually was very pretty. It was quite fun. But there was a long line of traffic to get into the place. And it wasn't easy to find the place in the first place. And ultimately, you're driving, waiting in traffic, waiting in line for like 2 hours before we got in. And then it took 45 minutes to drive through. And that entire time, the drive there, the 2 hours waiting to get in, the 45-minute drive through, I had to use the bathroom the whole time. But that entire time, I had to use the bathroom. And while driving home, I saw a local station that happened to be open on Christmas Day for whatever reason. I ran in, I was able to use the men's room, but I was like, thank God! I mean, not really. I didn't think God was like, huh, he's having an issue, and like magic the mobile station open. I didn't think that. I don't think God opened the mobile station to make up for my bad bathroom planning. I don't think Jesus was so concerned about my poor plane that he forced the employees of the gas station to work on Christmas Day for my aid and comfort. But it's understandable, right, in some cases that people thank Jesus for the little things in their lives. The things that really are just circumstance or happenstance. Because maybe they don't see Jesus in the more significant parts of their lives. Their relationships, their health, their finances, their children. But thank you, Jesus, for delaying that subway train so I didn't have to wait for the next one. When bad stuff happens, when things get really grim, we look for Jesus. And sometimes we don't find him. We don't see Jesus in those situations. When I couldn't find the missing Jesus, I searched the sanctuary. I searched my office. I searched over and around. In my need to finish setting up the nativity scene, I searched everywhere for Christ. And I couldn't find him. No matter how hard I looked, and no matter where I looked, no matter what part of the church I tore apart, no matter how much wreckage I left behind me while I was doing it, I couldn't find Jesus. You know why I couldn't find Jesus? Because he was right where he was supposed to be all along. In this case, he was in a box under the table where all the nativity stuff gets packed away, in a box labeled Jesus. I grant this story would probably have been more effective if I had found him actually in the manger. Like he just appeared in the manger right there all along. But under the box, in a box under the table, in a box marked Jesus, that's close enough, I think. Then you know what? That's where Jesus always is. I mean, not in a box under the table, but Jesus is always already where we need him to be. He's already in the midst of our grief, offering comfort. He's already in the midst of our illness, offering wholeness. He's already in the midst of our anger, offering us peace. Jesus is already there, in the center of all of our turmoil, in the heart of our unrest or our unease, offering us grace. Sometimes it's hard to see. Sometimes his presence eludes us. And so we start trying to see Jesus in the little things that happen all around us. We start seeing trying to see the hand of Christ in, you know, the Hail Marys that our football team throws, or the Raven commute to work that somehow doesn't take an hour because of traffic. But that's not where we need Jesus. And that's not where we should be seeking Him. You know, Jesus promised to be with us until the end of the age. He promised that wherever two or three of us gather together in His name, He also is there. He promised that we would not be alone, but that the Holy Spirit, our advocate, would be indwelling within us, the presence of Christ living in our hearts. In his letter to the churches in Galatia, the scripture we read this morning, in the scripture we read this morning, Paul tells the people that indeed the Spirit of the Son is in our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, as Jesus promised that the Spirit would be. And we are invited by that indwelling Spirit to call out to God in our despair. And in our joy, we are invited to embrace the Spirit, to receive its consolation and its strength. We are invited to remember that Christ is with us. Through any obstacle that the world might put in our way, we are invited to remember that Christ is with us. And that we can turn to Him, we can seek Him out. Even when, especially when all of the other options seem hopeless. We are invited to seek Christ in all of the places where we need Him to be. And when we do, we'll find that Christ is already there, just where we need Him to be, exactly where we expected Him to be. Not missing, not absent, certainly not in a box under the table, but right where He promised He would be. Right at our side. You pray with me? God, we thank You for being with us, for Your abiding and enduring presence. We thank You for the promise You gave us that reminds us that we never have to fear being alone because we never are alone. We ask that You embolden us to go into the world carrying that message to our sisters and brothers who need to hear the same thing, who feel the suffering they can't overcome because they don't know of Your presence, that they feel the pain they can't heal because they don't know that You're their physician. They feel the despair that they can't work through because they don't see the light that is You guiding them. We ask that You help us to help them to share the light of Christ, and then that You remind us that we too get to see the light, that we too get to feel Your presence, that we too get to live in Your love and thrive in Your grace. Thank You, God, for Your enduring promise to be with us everywhere, always, exactly where we need You to be. Amen.
This has been a presentation of the First United Methodist Church of Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Thank you for listening, and God bless.